Good morning again. Well, it's official. We finally found a reason to wear camo to church. You guys don't seem very excited about this. If you're one of those people that are saying, I'm not wearing camo, this is stupid, that's dumb, I'm just not doing it, I want you to know I've been praying for you. I'll continue to pray for you, and maybe sometime here in the future you'll have a chance to redeem yourself. So don't worry too much. Well, as the new year approaches, I don't think we can help but ask the question, where are we headed as a church? I know that this is normally the time when we begin to ponder the question of New Year's resolutions, goals, the things that we're going to try and achieve in the next year. How many of you have already started to do that, your New Year's resolutions and things? And we got a couple. You know, this is the time of year when we go out and we buy that gym membership that we most likely aren't going to use. All the exercise equipment starts to go on sale, and we pick out the next $500 coat rack that we're going to put in the basement eventually. We start to talk about all the latest and greatest diets and the ones that we're going to try this year. We begin to see the advertisements for the miracle pills, you know, for $39.95. You take this pill twice a day and the pounds melt off. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to exercise. Maybe this is the year that you've determined that you'll quit smoking. I've already started seeing the commercials for the stop smoking meds. Have you seen any? I saw one on Christmas Day, and at the very end, they were going over the side effects, and they try to go through them really fast so that you can't understand what they say. But it went something like this. Please discontinue use if you have any bleeding from the eyes, nose, or mouth. Call your doctor immediately if you develop any swelling of the face or throat, or if you have difficulty breathing. In some instances, death has occurred. Doesn't that sound awesome? Sounds like a great way to try and quit. Maybe this is the year that you decided you'll start working on some of the many projects that you've pinned. You've pinned so many you couldn't even find a good one if you tried. And you've decided that this is the year that you're going to work on a few of them. Well, as we sift through the cornucopia of good ideas and intentions that always comes about with a new year, the question still remains, where are we headed as a church? What does God have in store for this body of believers for the coming year? I think this morning we can partially answer that question. As I prayed for God to show me the message that He wanted delivered to you this morning, He used a very unusual situation to reveal it to me. And that is what inspired Camo Sunday. Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, Austin and I both really enjoy hunting. Someday we even hope to be good at it. Well, halfway through this deer season, we got a new spot to hunt. And we've been there maybe 10 or 12 different times. And at this point, we have yet to see a deer. And as you can guess, it started to be a little frustrating. And we've tried not to tromp around too much on the property because it's kind of small, and we don't want to get the deer all stirred up and drive them off, so we're trying to be careful about what we do. But this property has a small barn. And the barn has a big open door, and right next to it, it has a window. Now, there's no window in it, just a cutout for a window. But coming from the other side of the property up to this barn is a deer trail. And this trail has several spots where where it turns up into the woods, and there's some nice thick stuff for the deer to bed in there, and it's just a really, what seems like it'd be a really perfect spot to hunt. So we've put some corn along this trail, and we've been sitting in this barn and just waiting for these deer to come down that trail. Now, before I go any further, I recognize that not all of you are interested in hunting. And that's okay, because I want you to know I'm going somewhere with this, so just be patient with me for a minute. We put some corn along this trail, and a few days went by, and we went back, and all the corn was gone. And I'm like, yes, we've got a good spot. The deer are coming in. It's going to be great. We put more corn out that day, and as of right now, that corn is still there. Nothing. Nothing else has happened. We've seen all the signs, you know. We see the tracks, and we see the droppings, and we see the spot where the deer are, you know, rubbing trees with their antlers, and you know, all the things that you would look for, we're seeing them. But no deer. So the other day, I was out there in that barn by myself, and as I sat there, I started to rethink my hunting plan. I'm like, maybe this just isn't a good property. Maybe this just isn't where we want to be. You know, maybe I need to look for something else. I walked out of that barn, and I walked up into the woods, and I found a deer trail. And then I found another deer trail. And I located what seemed to me to be a perfect spot to put a deer stand. It was right in between those two trails. It was a semi-open spot, surrounded on three sides by woods. To the right side, there was maybe 10 feet of woods and some thick stuff, and it opened up into a great big field. The other side, clear down at the bottom, there was the remnants of an old spring-fed pond that I thought, man, we could clean that up and it, you know, it'd be really nice. And I started to think, man, it'd take a little bit of work, but we could clean up this property and we could make an awesome spot to hunt. It just has to be fixed up a little bit. I started to picture it. I started to say, man, I could have my stand here, and I could put some corn there, and maybe some corn over there, and a few mineral blocks, and I could plant some turnips and some clover up at the edge of this field, you know. And I sat there and I said, man, I don't need a new place to hunt. I just need to be the smartest hunter that I can. I'm going to create an environment that these deer are going to absolutely love. They won't even have reason to leave this area. And I thought my days of sitting in that barn, waiting and waiting, are over. But you know, as I was kneeling down that day, looking over the woods where I'm going to create my deer paradise, I was picturing how great it would be. And in that quiet moment, God spoke to my heart. He said, you know, these woods are a lot like Coshocton Baptist Church. You know, I've heard it said a lot lately that we need some change in this church. And I've thought about it a lot myself, and to a point, I totally agree. But I want to, for just one minute, take the idea of change and set it aside. And I want us to stop and kneel down and take a look at what we have. We have a facility here that is very nice. So So often we focus on what we owe on it, and we forget about what we have. I want to put a little perspective on that for you this morning. I don't know the exact number, because if you've been in the business meetings lately, you know that we were having some issues with statements from the bank with the transition from Ohio Heritage to Peoples. But we owe somewhere in the vicinity of $200,000. I might be a little off, but it's somewhere in that vicinity. We have a building that is worth over $500,000, and we only owe $200,000 on it. That's awesome. I know people that have spent more than that on a house. Many people. We sometimes get focused on the drudgery of cleaning and maintenance and all the things that go along with having a building like this, and we forget about the blessing that God has given us with this building. We have a sanctuary that'll seat somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 people. Again, I didn't count and I don't know exactly, but it's somewhere in there. And I personally look forward to the day when this sanctuary is full and we have to go to two services because we don't have enough room to fit everybody in here. And we have problems with the planning for seating. I look forward to that time. I look forward to the time when our Sunday night Bible study is full and we have to move it over here to the sanctuary because there's not enough room. Speaking of that Bible study, I want to take a minute to personally invite you. You know, we have a man teaching Sunday nights that God has given a heart to teach His Word, and He's given him the knowledge to go along with it. And I invite you to come and check that out. I promise you that it'll challenge the way you think if you give it an opportunity. I promise it will. Well, here's what I want you to see today. As a church, we've been putting out a little corn and sitting in the barn where it's comfortable, where we're out of the weather, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen. But nothing big has happened yet. Let me illustrate my point this way. I don't want you to answer out loud. I just want you to think about this. Here we go. Are you ready? Do you love your church? Do you go out into this community and say, man, I really love my church? Can you really tell people, my church is awesome. I love it. Think about that for just a second. I'm going to take a stab in the dark here, and I'm going to guess that most of you just started to think about all the different issues in the church, all the things that you would like to see changed, all the things that you would like to see better. And if you answered that question honestly, you probably said something like this: no, but I want to be able to say I love my church. I want to be able to tell people about my church and be excited about it. I want to be able to tell them how great it is. That's my bet, that most people answered very similar to that. So the next big question is this: how do we get there? How do we get to that point where we can say, I love my church? See, the fact is, unless we create a place that we love, it's going to be hard for others to love it too. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says this, and you can write that down if you want to. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5 says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I say that again. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So let's look at God's Word for some answers. If you want to get your Bible out, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to start in verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called on his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained you 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sowed, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and that I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take this talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So the question is, how does this apply to us right now? Scripture doesn't do us any good unless we can apply it to our lives, right? Here's what I know. We've already talked about how God has blessed us with this wonderful facility. It's a fairly new multi-purpose facility. It has a few issues here and there, but for the most part, it's in really good shape. God has also established some wonderful ministries in this building. And I want to talk about just a couple of them. I want to talk about Awana. Every Wednesday night, we have anywhere from 20 to 30 kids, excluding youth, that come through our doors. These kids are here to learn, they're here to memorize Scripture, and they're here to establish relationships with Christian adults. Can I tell you something? There are kids in this community who need you. Kids that don't have a Christian example in their life. And I want you to know that there are a whole lot more than 20 or 30. There are hundreds of them. They need a place to belong with people who love them. Do you want this church to be that place? I do. On the same Wednesday night, we have anywhere from 15 to 25 here for the youth Bible study. Then 10 to 15 on Sunday nights. This group is the future of our church. But not only the future of our church, but of our nation. And they need our support. They need our leadership. I look around that church and I say, where are those 25? You know, it can't all be the responsibility of our youth leaders. They're doing an awesome job. Couldn't we make a few adjustments to bring those folks in so that they might be a part of what we have going on? What could we do to make it more appealing to them? Shouldn't we be asking these questions? Do you want this church to be where they come for guidance? Again, I do. We have junior youth on Sunday night, and that ministry is just now getting reestablished, and it's going to grow. I know it is. You see, we have to have a place for kids to come on Sunday night so that their parents can go too, and that everyone can learn and grow. And that ministry is going to need help soon. We also have the nursery. Do you realize how important it is for the parent of a small child to be able to feel good about putting their child in a place where they know they're loved and cared for? We have some holes in that ministry. It is a ministry. Parents have the opportunity to come into this sanctuary and hear a message without worrying about the well-being of their kids. Small children are loved in there, and they begin to develop a positive image of what church is. So important. We have church cleaning. We need to have a clean and organized sanctuary. We need to have clean restrooms. Things need to be tidy and organized. Every single job within the walls of this church are important. It matters. I can sum all of this up and answer the question of where are we headed as a church with this statement. God wants us to do church well. No matter how little the job might seem to you, He wants us to do church well. And He deserves our best. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." What you do here isn't for me, and it's not so you can feel good about yourself. It's to glorify God. And I'm about to shock you with this statement. Your life is not about you. It's not about you. And neither is your ministry. And all we do, it should be a service to our Lord. And I don't know about you,
But I don't want to disappoint my God. Will you stand with me? As you stand, I ask that you bow your head and close your eyes. And I don't want this to be a time for you to zip up your Bibles or put your coat on or anything. I just need your attention for a couple more minutes. With your eyes closed and your head bowed. I believe with all my heart that as we go into this new year, God is calling us to do church well. We need to take what God has already established and do it well. We're working directly for Him, and we need to create an environment that we love so that we can ask others to come on board and love it too. Not for us, but because we love God and we want to grow His kingdom. That's what He called us to do. It's Camo Sunday. And most of you have your camo on. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to picture yourself kneeling down as you see the vision of a thriving church. You see what this church can be like as we begin to work together in a way that's pleasing to God. Just like the deer paradise that I want to create, it's not going to come without hard work. Will you take a look at where God is working in this church and join in? Don't wait for somebody to ask. Join in. God will not, He will not bless us any further until we begin to be faithful with what He's already given. He will not bless us any further until we're faithful with what we have. Father, help us to do church well. Help us to remember that the work we do is for You. We love You. We need Your help. Help us to create a loving and organized environment that people can grow in. We want this church to grow, but we also know that if it's healthy, it will grow. Growing is a product of a healthy church. Father, we thank You for Your Son as He gives all meaning to our lives. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. This morning, if God's speaking to your heart, I want you to know that this altar is open to you. It's open to you now. Feel free to come on down. I'm going to talk for just a minute. But again, the altar's open. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard the message of the gospel. And I want you to know this. The Bible says that every one of us are sinners. And that sin separates us from God. But the good news is that He didn't leave it that way. He sent His Son to die on the cross. That 3 days later, He rose again, conquering death. And He died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And the Bible says that if we'll confess that with our mouth, believe it totally in our heart, that we'll be saved. Saved from an eternity in hell and separation from God. This morning, if that's something that you've never addressed, I invite you to come up here now. I'd be glad to pray with you. I don't have to, but I would love to. Again, this altar is open to you.